Well, let's come in from the fields where I spent part of yesterday morning with Jim Sladek aboard his tractor, as we heard in our first half hour, as he and his crew hustle to get this year's crops into the ground. As crews in tens of thousands of Iowa farms across the state are doing the same. By the way, make sure you go to iowapublicradio.org to see some pictures that I took of Jim at work in his high-tech tractor cabin, some interior pictures, some exterior pictures. You will be amazed at what farming has become in the 21st century. Jim mentioned in our conversation the number one challenge facing farmers, soil erosion, soil conservation. Let's spend the remainder of the hour talking about that challenge, that issue, more in depth with Rick Cruz, professor of agronomy at Iowa State University. Professor Cruz, Rick, welcome to our program.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Ben.
We want to mention that you also lead Iowa State University's Iowa Daily Erosion Project, and you are director of the Iowa Water Center at the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture. So you are working to find a better way to measure erosion and its financial impact. This builds on a report released 3 years ago that sounded really an alarm about the severity of Iowa's soil erosion. Tell us, remind us, how bad is this problem?
Kind of as Jim mentioned, it is serious. It has been serious and is likely to remain that way for a while. There are a couple things that are critically important. One is that, and I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but things are worse than what we believe they are in terms of the amount of soil that's actually leaving or moving. And it's worse in that the value of 5 tons per acre per year that we obtained in one of these, it's kind of a smoke-filled room in about the 1950s or 60s, is really too fast. The best science that we have indicates that soil is renewing itself at about 0.5 ton per acre per year rather than the 5. And the number that we use from the NRI, that we are moving sheet and reel about 5 tons per acre per year, it's a very good number. It's a reliable number. It's based on science. But that number, and NRCS indicates this, they're not hiding anything. They've done a very good job, in fact, is that it does not include the gully or ephemera gullies that we typically see when we have these rainstorms.
Mm-hmm. So if I understand you correctly, Rick, we are losing soil more than we estimated that we have been, that we assumed that we – faster than we have, and our soil is not rebuilding as fast as we assumed either. So two things that work to our disadvantage.
Bingo. And let me add one other, and I think Jim made a great, great comment when he said, if you don't want soil to move, don't move it. Tillage erosion, based on science, is as great as water erosion, and we're not considering that at all. In other words, if you move soil back and forth on a hill slope, which direction is it going to move? Gravity works.
It's going to go down. It's going to follow the water. The water's going to take it somewhere. I was out with Jim yesterday, as we heard there, based on that description. I'm not a farmer. I didn't grow up. Did some detasseling. Did some hay baling. But that's about it as far as my farm experience. Based on what we heard about the way he is planting, I got the impression that because of all the high-tech mm-hmm. equipment, he is really at the top end of trying to conserve soil. And am I right in saying that not all farmers can afford to farm that way, or can they?
Well, let me tear the statement apart just a little bit. For a row cropping system, Jim, what he is doing is at the top. And we know that based on our technology that we use to make those estimates, and that he keeps the ground covered. But when it comes to other forms of erosion, the ephemeral gullies, for example, perennials are really the only means in which we have to stop those. And those do form and do occur in soils that are no-till. And that's not a pushback on what Jim is doing, because it is much, much better than what we've used in the past. Can people afford? We've got small farmers. We have farmers that are operating without the size of operation that Jim has, that are doing things. They're more management intensive, you know, contour planting. I don't know what Jim has for grass waterways, putting in grass waterways. you know, things that can be done, as I say, they're more management intensive. Technology definitely helps us adapt some of those, but it doesn't take an immense amount of money to with conservation ethics, and we've got some smaller farmers that do an incredible job. We've got large farmers doing that too. So it's not totally a money issue.
Rick Cruz is with us, a professor of agronomy at Iowa State University, director of the Iowa Water Center at the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture. You actually are trying to put dollar figures on the loss we suffer from soil erosion. Tell us what that figure is and how you arrive at it.
Sure, happy to. I'm part of a research team that is really, really important. The whole team is. I'm just a figurehead. But anyway, where those numbers come from. We have done the work, others have done the work, where we relate crop yield to topsoil depth. We know how much yield you lose by removing an inch, 2 inch, 3 inch, 5 inch, 6 inches of topsoil. We've got those numbers. We've done the work in the field. Others have also. We've used the NRCS value of average soil erosion in the state of Iowa and 5 tons per acre per year, and have translated that to a depth change. So once we, and over the 150 years, kind of like the time horizon that Jim was talking about, we have lost, based on NRI's very conservative estimate, we use 5 tons per acre per year, and that is lower than any NRI value that they've come up with. We check what that's done to yields on that yield and topsoil depth curve relationship. We convert that to bushels per acre. We know roughly how many acres of Iowa is planted each year. Give for corn $5, and we assumed it was all corn just to find out where the decimal point was in terms of the dollar value. $5 per bushel for the quantity of bushels we've lost, you come up with $1 billion, a little bit more actually.
Mm-hmm. We have made improvements over the decades in terms of conserving our soil, but it seems there should be plenty of incentive based on what you just said to each and every farmer and landowner with farmland out there to conserve this topsoil. But is there enough economic incentive? How can we increase that?
That's a great, great question. The challenge we face is that short-term income is what determines whether or not a farmer is in business next year or the year beyond that. There are different factors. One is the majority of our farmland is rented, and I'll go back to what Jim said. He's got both owned and rented, and that's typical of most farmers. You know, I've had farmers, multiple farmers, tell me that using conservation practices other than tillage, but other conservation practices on rented land is a cost. On their owned land, it's an investment. Mm. You know, on an annual basis, you know, if you're removing 5 tons per acre per year or moving 5 tons per acre per year, you're only changing the depth of that topsoil, maybe a thickness of a dime or maybe even a little less. So in a one-year period, the cost associated with a conservation practice, particularly if it's not your own land, is inconsequential.
Mm-hmm. So how do we make that economic incentive better, even if you are renting land to farm?
Wow, can you ask a different question, one that's easier to answer? That'd be a good thing. The economic incentive associated with that can only come from the landowner. A renter, now we've got renters that are doing great jobs, but that is because of their conservation ethic. You know, if we looked at, and I'm jumping away from your question just a little bit, but I'll get back to that. If we look at a conservation ethic of farmers across the entire state, we've got some that will die to keep soil in place and clean water. We've got some on the other extreme that really, at least based on behavior, could care less. Now, in the short term, the individual that really farms the bejeebers out of the land and doesn't invest at all in conservation practices, the individual that wants to put the conservation practices in place, even on rented land, can't compete. Mm-hmm. Simply can't afford to do it. They're not going to stay in farming if they do. So it makes it very difficult in that situation to make it happen. You know, Jim's got a great point. You know, regulation, no one wants to have to deal with rules that somebody else imposes. And I'm not pushing regulation. I'm not pushing that at all. But I've had more than one farmer, several more than one farmer this year, tell me we need some rules of engagement, because in a game with no rules, the most aggressive and often least ethical individual is the one that determines how that game is played.
Mm-hmm. So if everyone was a responsible farmer with an outlook that went past next year or the year after, went on, that outlook went into the future for decades, we wouldn't have a problem. We wouldn't need more regulation, but that might be the only answer?
No, I'm not going to go on record of saying that. Education is a big plus. Regulation, that's a discussion for another day and another time.
Okay.
But it is difficult. We have individuals operating at a competitive disadvantage in the absence of any rules of engagement. So how do you make that incentive? I mean, you've got to have incentive to do the right thing. For some people, it's that moral obligation. It is that ethic.
Mm-hmm.
For others, it's because they want to pass down a quality product, their farm, to the next generation.
Right.
And we've got, if you take a look at the average age of Iowa farmers, in fact, is across ag, we've got a lot of people that are going to pass their farms on to kids. And you know where kids are these days? They don't stay in the local community. They distributed everywhere around the country, around the world, and then they're going to jointly manage that farm. The incentive associated with keeping soil in place is much less than it is if they inherit that farm and are going to move on to that farm. Like what Jim's talking, they've got four mm-hmm. generations, a great incentive to keep soil in place.
We have got just a minute or two left, Rick mm-hmm. Cruz. Wrap up with some comments, some forward-looking comment about where we go from here, tracking soil erosion, mm-hmm. what's in our future, and how can we become better at conserving the soil that we prize so much here in Iowa?
Well, incentive is a great motivator, and how we create that incentive is a real question. Can we do it with government funds? I think absolutely not. There's not enough money. We've got agencies like NRCS doing a great job with what they have. They've been trimmed. That's got to be beefed up a little bit. We've got groups that are dealing with education, Iowa Department of Ag and Land Stewardship. Education is a critical component. It has to be added even more intensively than it is to the mix. We support the activities involved, for instance, with the Iowa Daily Erosion Project. Got tremendous individuals working on this. It happens in spite of me, not because. We've got to invest in identifying what's happening. The first thing we need to know is what is happening. We've failed to meet that criteria over the past several decades. The first thing we have to do is have good information about what's happening on the ground. Then we have a chance of determining what to do. Jim's comment about critically interested and the importance of soil erosion, that seed is planted in most farmers. So we've got that seed. We just have to find a way to make it grow.
Okay, Rick Cruz, a professor of agronomy at Iowa State University. He leads Iowa State University's Iowa Daily Erosion Project and is director of the Iowa Water Center at the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture. Rick Cruz, fascinating conversation with you, a big challenge for us here in Iowa and across the country. Thank you for enlightening us.
Hey, thank you.
Tomorrow on this program, our weekly edition of News Buzz. Among the items we'll touch on tomorrow, state legislator Brad Zahn says he carries his weapon with him to the state capitol building, even though that's against the state code. Iowa Public Radio's Joyce Russell will join me to tell us how and why he and others are able to do that. Then many say Iowa schools need safe rooms to protect students from severe weather. I'll talk with Mark Schouten. He's director of the Iowa Homeland Security. And also, the 2014 NFL draft is upon us. It started today. We'll check with former NFL kicker and Iowa Hawkeye Nate Kading tomorrow on this program over the noon hour, our News Buzz edition. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.